This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
48 minutes past 7 a.m. on this Wednesday, November 8th. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studios is
Brian Fernandez
and
Joyce Goh.
Good morning, guys. This is the morning run. Let's look at the mobile payments space here in Malaysia. So it looks like the race is heating up. Grab has just announced that its drivers can collect their earnings via the GrabPay mobile wallet, apparently recently launched, as soon as each work shift ends. So this is through a new partnership, right, that Grab has just announced with Singapore-based Transfer2. That's the global cross-border mobile payment network provider.
Yeah, so I think this will come as very welcome news for Grab drivers. I take a lot of Grab, so I know this will resonate with them. So how will this actually work? Its drivers can receive money on a daily basis and in real time. Is that correct, Joyce?
Yes. So this allows the drivers to link their GrabPay accounts directly to their personal bank accounts or go for a cash pickup option. So Grab currently has over 2 million drivers earning up to 55% more than the national average hourly wage on its platform. That's what they said. And they just crossed the 1 billionth ride recently. So with this latest news on the back of GrabPay going live for payments with retail in Singapore a few days ago, remember, they had that live. So it looks like the race is, they're going aggressively into this space.
Yeah, and there seem to be a lot of players that are aggressively looking to go into the e-wallet and e-payment space. But why is that really? It's because the numbers are very compelling. So if you look at Malaysia, the total transaction value of digital payments here could amount to something in the region of 7.2 billion in 2017.
Is this ringgit or dollars?
This is US dollars.
Oh, 7.2 billion. Wow.
So that's a big number. The largest segment within that is digital commerce, which has about a 6.3 billion US dollars transaction value this year. Now, interestingly enough, total transaction value annually is set to grow 20% per annum, resulting in a up to 2021, resulting in a total value doubling to about 15 million in about 2021.
15 billion.
15 billion, sorry. Mm. So globally, if you look at a comparison, China, 786 billion in 2017. Big numbers.
Wow. Yeah, so I guess they all see that whole big number floating around there, right? Especially in this part of the region where cash is still widely used. So Grab jumped onto this bandwagon with its mobile wallet service, allowing payments to be used with retailers across in Singapore. 4 million users in the city-state can scan a quick response code to pay for local dishes such as like your chicken rice, your prawn noodles at a hawker stands across the country. And Grab says that it plans to increase the number of small merchants accepting GrabPay from 25 to 1,000 by end of December.
All right, so we spoke to Jason Thompson, Managing Director for GrabPay Southeast Asia, asking him what is their game plan for the mobile e-wallet service.
As a company, this is a big step forward for Grab. Over the last 5 years, we've made a lot of progress in solving the problem of safety in transport. And today, we're focused on the next problem, with over 75% of people in Southeast Asia still using cash and not having a bank account. Going cashless helps them because it makes goods cheaper, it opens up the digital economy for them, and in a lot of cases enables people to earn an income for the first time. To solve this problem, in Singapore, we've launched an e-wallet that's specifically designed for Singapore's 20,000 cash-first homegrown merchants and partners, typically known as convenience stores and hawker stores. Our wallet helps cash-based merchants because it comes with a built-in audience of more than 60 million downloads and doesn't require the consumer to download a new app. It's also affordable and easy to use for the merchant too.
And that was Jason Thompson, Managing Director for GrabPay Southeast Asia. Also, we here on The Morning Run asked him when that e-wallet will be introduced in Malaysia. And he said next year. I've got a bit of beef with that. You know, why didn't they roll it out here first? I mean, because they started here, right? What happened to serving your home country first?
Well, I guess they have to look for the merchants first, the retailers and all that, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's more, we asked him when they'll be introducing that GrabPay where we can use it with the retailers. You know, you can go buy your char kway teow, your nasi lemak, and
using
GrabPay, right?
And also, I wouldn't mind being paid after every single show here on BFM, eh?
Would you guys daily, yeah.
Daily,
oh,
yeah.
Daily?
You
okay. I'm down
you guys down with that?
Okay.
Malik, you listening? All right.
Yeah, so overall, I mean, One of the things you got to look at is, of course, it's regulatory approval. For them to, in each jurisdiction, they need to get regulatory approval. So in Malaysia, for example, in July, as of July this year, we've got 5 Malaysian banks and as many as 20 non-bank entities that hold e-money licenses issued by Bank Negara, which then allow them to issue e-wallets. Not all of them are active in the e-wallet space. Most are instead focused on loyalty and petrol cards. The big boys are in the game. So Maybank was the first to launch mobile payment wallet platform in terms of its Maybank Pay solution. Subsequently, it partnered with Samsung to launch Samsung Pay mobile wallet.
Yeah, and don't forget the China giants, right? We have Alipay tying up with Touch & Go. Mm. Tencent Holdings also has said that it's applied for a license in Malaysia to offer local payment services via its WeChat Pay, right? If that happens, it will be the first for the platform outside of China for them.
Yeah, you know, so again, there's Maybank Pay, Alipay, Samsung Pay, you know, so many guys in that space. And then you've also got the likes of DG, you know, the telco guys jumping onto the same bandwagon as well. They've got VCash set to be launched here pretty soon. Again, that's DG's mobile payment application, set to involve what, 20,000 merchants, you know, under their respective networks. And I think DG also last week they inked agreements with MOLPay and also iPay88, right, for their respective networks.
Actually, Han, Astro just announced that its Astro Go Shop has partnered DGX to offer an e-cash on delivery solution, VCash, to 1.2 million customers. So with this e-cash on delivery option, GoShop customers can use this cashless payments when they shop.
Yeah, so Astro is basically hanging on to the coattails of DG's VCash, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, so we also spoke to the CEO of Astro GoShop, Grace Lee, and asked why is Astro venturing into this space as well?
Payments via mobile phones have been gaining momentum in Malaysia due to its convenience and consistent to the digital lifestyle of our customers. ECOD efforts such as our ongoing initiative with DGX VCash marks a significant step in Astro Group's digital transformation journey to advance cashless transactions within our operations and target for 10% of our customer base to start adopting cashless payments in 2018.
That was Grace Lee, CEO of Astro Go Shop.
Yeah, so it's obvious in the e-wallet race is really on. The challenge will come with how we Asians, really, who are so used to cash, adopt mobile payments. So even in a country like Singapore, according to PayPal, 9 out of 10 Singaporeans still prefer to pay for everyday transactions with cash. So back in August, Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said that even in Singapore, they have too many e-payments solutions, too many different schemes that don't talk to each other. So 6 out of 10 transactions are still in cash and checks.
And that's in Singapore, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but this preference for cash is an Asian thing, except for China, right, where QR code is huge there. An average of 88% in Asia-Pac prefer cash. But at the end of the day, I think it's about building a platform for continued patronage and ease of use, tracking, even rewards. I feel reward system is the next big thing. People should look into that because that's how you incentivize people to use that, to use your app, to use your platform.
Yeah, and security features also a very important component to this discussion as well. Moving on real quick with the minute that we have left, we'll look at this story involving the MRT3. So we had the bids being solicited by local entities. Now, according to Nomura, apparently, no local entity really fits the bill. Is that right?
Yeah, so none of the local firms fulfill the technical expertise criteria to qualify for the lead contractor role to build the MRT3 on a turnkey basis, according to Nomura. And remember, MRT asked for the bids. This came up in the news recently, right? And so they're saying that most likely it looks like foreign ones would be leading this.
I think one of the key things is also the size and the fact that the bar has been set very high for prospective applicants from a financing standpoint because they've got to provide 90% financing and the project value is something in the region of 35 to 40 billion at this point of time. They must have paid up capital and shareholders fund not less than 5 billion ringgit as well. So the bar is set very high. It'll be interesting to see how the consortiums actually eventually pan out.
And also we'll see how they will fare, you know, in the wake of this news when markets open in just a few minutes. And after the 9 a.m. news bulletins, we'll give you those numbers right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.